The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and T-Mac.
Heavily pending against Tampa Bay. Comes back to Byron McCross. Scores! In time! It's Nathan McKinnon! Up ahead, Manson. 3-on-2. McKinnon trying to get it back. Just scores! Arturi Lehkonen!
5 seconds to go. Up it comes to the line. Colorado has won the Stanley Cup.
Commiserate. Say it ain't so.
I will not go.
Turn the lights on. Carry me home.
You're not Richie. You're just not. You're not Raj.
I'm terrible.
You're not Nate. You're just not them.
I'm not even close. Are they going to get Blink-182 to come to Denver on Thursday?
I'm going to go with no, but if Stan Kroenke pulled that off, I'm not saying like I would entirely forget the past. But I think I would come close to forgetting at least half the past.
What do you think it would take?
For what?
To get Blink 182 here on Thursday.
A lot of money.
How much?
$1 million. I don't know. I mean, what do they make when they
million
go?
Bucks?
So
they fly you to town. We'll give you $1 million. What, you got to sing one song.
What do they make if they go do one show at Ball Arena?
There's no way they make $1 million.
I bet they make multiple hundred thousands of dollars.
I don't know,
last second. I don't know. They might make $1 million.
What the hell? I don't know.
What's the cost? You get a show. You're right.
The parade's at 10 a.m.
Get a private plane, fly in, fly out. What's the price of doing something epic, D-Mac?
Right.
You know, what's the price of trying to earn some favor of your fans? You know, is there a price to that?
Dude, if some point during the parade, Blink-182 would just pop out and play that song live.
If they
were
like,
kidding me?
Are they going to be on fire trucks, by the way? Is that what they're riding on?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same as you guys.
If Blink had their own fire truck and they were just riding along, they had speakers up there. That would be epic.
You know, what's the
old Mad Max style?
Do you need the entire band, or could you just get like?
Well, you
Mark
could.
Secondly?
Well, it's Tom.
Tom DeLonge, right?
Yeah.
Sorry,
so you could just get Tom. Yeah.
Would that be good enough?
It would be cool. It wouldn't be as cool.
You need the whole band playing it.
Yeah. I honestly thought they might
be cool for them.
And who knows, maybe the Avalanche actually did attempt to get them to show up, but I really did think they'd find a way to get them to show up for the finals. That became such a thing. Can you imagine the national story, how good they would have looked if they pulled that off? I'm not mad at them.
No, they got one last chance, though. Thanks to our listeners in Morrison for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. Just a quick note before we get our guy Mike Chambers on. That should be interesting. Serena Williams, who I think is ranked like 2000-something.
Yes.
And is 40 years old and is really, I don't think she's played competitively in like a year, is 3 points away from winning her first-round matchup. I'm not exactly sure who the Frenchwoman is that she's playing, but never heard of her, but so what? And it is a three-set, lengthy, exhausting, emotional thing. Serena broke serve to go up 5-4, and she was almost like crying between sets as they just changed sides.
Yeah, she lost the first set. I mean, this is one of those moments that she probably has no chance, but dang, do I want her to win. Wouldn't that be incredible? I mean, when Tiger Woods comes back, don't you want him to win? Every time he comes back, are you just not hoping that Tiger Woods wins?
Absolutely.
Of course it would be amazing if she could make a final run. This is likely the last time anybody will ever see her. And you know, I doubt she could go all the way, but man, would it be fun?
Yeah, I'm not holding out that. That would be unbelievable if she could win. I think it'd be unbelievable if she could win if she wins this match, it's unbelievable.
Well, she's 2 points away.
You're the 2000th ranked woman in the world, and you're winning your first round match.
Yeah, but she's Serena Williams. You know, when Tiger Woods gets out there, people are
crazy.
Scared. Have you seen, by the way? Have you seen those photos that popped out the last couple days of Tiger Woods and his knee and his leg?
No. What's going on?
Oh, my gosh.
What's up?
The fact that that guy is walking, let alone playing golf.
Is it atrophied?
They showed photos in shorts playing golf.
Yeah.
And it's like his shin is in front of his thigh. It's all just out of shape and out of whack.
Really?
It's terrible. Like, unbelievable that he's still competing.
Okay.
And you know what it looks like? Mm-hmm. The way you describe Tom Brady's knee after he played in the match because he wore a knee brace, that's what it actually looks like.
That's what it should have looked like. That's what I thought it was looking like. That stupid Tom Brady. That dumb Tom Brady. You know, he's Tampa. How'd that work out for you? They threw his ugly face on the Jumbotron before every game. Did you catch any of their pregame stuff? Did you see any of the videos that I threw out of their pregame stuff? It's pretty cool.
No, but actually, tell me about it.
It was just cool. They got a rapper. I think his name is Vo Williams. And he has this really cool song. And he starts singing the song like it's a karaoke sort of thing. He's singing along to the track.
Like it's a tradition for them?
It's a tradition for him. And he starts like kind of at the back of in the lower bowl. And he works his way onto the ice. And it's a mixture of him singing live. But they also cut to video of him singing. And he just sings along with it like it's lip syncing. I don't know how they do it. But it all sort of works out. And in the Lightning, they have these little coils that create like little lightning bolts. And there's a button. You can hold the button for the coils to do lightning bolts.
Nice.
And they bring down the white sheets. They bring the sheets down that they can project things on. And
I love that stuff.
They got a cool presentation, man. They did a good job.
I love all that stuff. I mean, all the small things, that's never going to go away. And you know what? I bet you're right.
Well, hold on. Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Never?
That is never going away. That is a tradition of the Colorado Avalanche from now until the end of time.
Well, it's been going for like 3 years.
Yeah.
So you think that sticks around forever, huh?
So, full disclosure, I've not been to a ton of Avalanche games in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what it's felt like. But listening to the way you talked about it, other media members that were going to the games this year, it feels like this year it took on a new life of its own. Whereas previously they would play it. Some people would sing along. There wasn't necessarily a rhyme or reason of when they were playing it. Now they've got a specific purpose of when they do it, and everybody's into it, including the people that are at home.
Yeah, I remember taking video of it back in the very beginning of the season because I just thought it was like, this is so cool, man. There was one time, too, that it really – what happens is – they play it, but it's in NBA games. I don't know what the rules are. In NBA games, Tyler, they just play music and sound effects and crap. I mean, the whole game, offense, defense, whatever. But they do have a rule for the NHL games that once the play starts, you stop with all that. And
yeah,
then,
I hate that about the NBA, just for the record. I cannot stand NBA games just because the noise and clutter. Avalanche games are loud, but it's a flow of the game loud.
Yeah,
NBA games, it's just like nonstop, just music pumped into my ears.
It doesn't stop. It does not stop. Anyways, what struck me this year was they were playing it, and the timing was unbelievably perfect to where the play started and then stopped relatively shortly, but it timed out perfectly between the verses of the song.
Okay.
And that's really where it stood out. I think that's this year it really popped. And I did ask about it, and they were like, it's been going on for a little bit. You know, it's not the first time. But there's good to have traditions and
heck yeah,
all that stuff. Is that Mike? We got Mike on?
Here we go.
Our guy, Mike Chambers from the Denver Post, is on. Mike, good afternoon. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good, boys. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're taking a little heat today, and we wanted to get you on to get your response to it. It was about the tweeting out the picture of you holding the cup up, and you got a cigar in your mouth, and you're with Gabe there, and it's got some hairs raised around here, Mike, and I was just curious to get your response to that.
Well, I think there's a lot of love there, too. I mean, there's a lot of people who follow me that, you know, like me as a person and what I do. So I appreciate that. But what happened there was an authentic exchange between two guys that really appreciate the game of hockey and respect it. Gabe Landeskog approached me, and I think hugged for about a minute, and he was doing all the talking, and he told me some things. I mean, he and I go way back,
mm-hmm,
since he was drafted in 2011, and he talked to me about my professionalism, about my love of the game, about how fair I am. And then he wanted to take a picture with me at the cup.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we stood together and we took a picture. There's a bunch of people taking pictures. So at that point I figured, well, you know, it's out there. And then it was just awesome. Gabe handed me the cup. I let go. Gabe handed me the cup.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hold it high or something like that.
Oh, that's incredible. Mike, I'm just going to interrupt for a second because full disclosure, I was crushing you. I was absolutely crushing you. But I gave, there's one exception to my crushing of you. And I said this multiple times. Here's the one exception. If a member of that team, and I specifically said Gabe Landeskog, I did. I said, if Gabe Landeskog was holding that trophy and he handed it to Mike and said, hold this thing up, or if he was holding it above his head and he just transitioned it to you and that's how you were holding it. If a member of the team handed you that cup, that was my only exception to not being, offended is the wrong word, but thinking it was inappropriate. I was crushing you, but you just described literally the only thing that I thought that would make it acceptable, and I'm honestly glad that we brought you on air for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like I walked into the event and I chased the cup and I went and grabbed it.
Right.
Yeah.
I had no plans on touching the cup, but Gabe and I had an exchange, a professional and personal exchange of deep respect for each other, based on our working relationship, and he moved me. And then all of a sudden I'm taking a picture with him, and then he hands me the cup.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable experience. And I believe that I honored Gabe because he gave me the cup. He asked me to raise it. It was a show of respect for me, and it's something that, you know, I'll always have that picture and that memory. And no matter what people are saying, I mean, people actually don't know me outside of Terry Fry and the legends that I grew up admiring. There's no more professional hockey person in this city than me. I've never owned a piece of Avalanche gear. I've never worn a hockey sweater with another name besides mine on the back. I'm old school. But this happened. It was authentic. I love hockey. Hockey's been in my life forever. And I've never touched the Stanley Cup. And Gabe Landeskog, the captain of the team that just won it, handed it to me and said, hold it high. And then pictures started.
Dude, you're in the clear. I mean, you're in the clear. We had a very long, healthy conversation. I literally said that was the one exception, and you detailed it the exact way. Who cares? And, you know, I guess maybe you don't even care that people are out there talking about you because you know what happened and you know your integrity and not how you feel the respect of the game. I think if I were you, I'd put a tweet out there and be like, Gabe Landeskog handed me this trophy and told me to hold it high. That's what I would do.
Well, I did that last night. I don't know if a lot of people saw it, but the guy that Think Back East that brought this up, I tweeted back to him and I explained basically what you just said. And then he said, well, maybe you shouldn't have thrown it on Twitter. And, you know, he's probably right there. But at the same time, I can say maybe I shouldn't have put it on Twitter. But the fact that I did, I still, under the circumstances, I don't think I did anything wrong. But if people want to chastise me for doing it, then I'll take it, but I'm not taking the tweet down.
Okay. Anything else for Mike?
Honestly, I'm just so glad that we brought him on because it was a very spirited discussion, and I 100% think that any human being would have done the exact same thing that you did, and nobody knew the context of it, so I'm glad we brought him on.
Well, very few people would have
and for the record,
11-year
Mike,
relationship with Gabe Landeskog to even have that conversation.
And for the record, though, I think there's a lot of fans out there that even if that wasn't true, even if Gabe didn't hand you that trophy, if you were just invited into the room by somebody, I think there's a lot of fans out there that would say, man, I'd love to hold that thing.
Yeah, well, I wasn't the only media member at the event, but I think I was the only one that was asked by Gabe Landeskog to take a picture with him.
And sure you are.
The only one that Gabe Landeskog gave it to. So, in terms of respectability, again, my record shows that I'm completely old school. And D-Mac, you've seen the whole playoffs, you've seen the grind, and you've seen how many cheerleaders are out there.
Yep.
I'm not a cheerleader, and you know that. Mm-hmm. I'm a fair journalist that I've never taken sides. But when Gabe Landeskog has a conversation, he's whispering in my ear what he thinks of me professionally. And then he wants me to take a picture with him, and then he hands me the cup. Yeah, it's pretty darn emotional. And it was a signature moment of my career that I'm never going to forget, and I don't regret.
All right. I love it. I feel like asking a hockey question. Do you have time for one hockey question real quick?
Sure, buddy. Sure.
Who's coming and who's going, do you think? Who do you think stays?
I think Nichushkin is going to test the free agent market. He wants a lot more than the Avs have available. I don't think the Avs can afford Kadri either.
Okay. Mm.
I think they're going to take a run at Josh Manson because he's such a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to let Kemper walk. The biggest need in free agency is a goaltender.
Wow. Okay.
They're pretty much set at defense, but they traded their top two prospects and Justin Barron and Drew Helleson away at the trade deadline. So they lack depth there, but obviously you're talking about the best blue line in the NHL probably, and all the top guys are under contract. So I think the big question is Nichushkin, number one, and then Kadri and Burakovsky. But if all three of those guys leave, then you're going to lean on guys like Oscar Olofsson, who is a prize prospect.
19.
And Sample Ranta, Martin Kaut, and free agency.
Eric Johnson going to retire? Is he going to come back for one more go?
There's a good, well, I don't know what Joe's thinking, but, you know, Eric Johnson might want to go out now and get bought out. He's got 1 year left at $6 million.
Mm-hmm.
If he walks, he's going to get four, or if he gets bought out, I mean. So maybe Eric steps away. I mean, he told me on the ice the other night that he was going to, he really thought about retiring after last year, after he had all those injuries.
Right.
And
crazy.
This might be his opportunity just to say, hey, I'm done. I'm going out a champion. But again, I have no idea if that's going to happen. But
he sounded like that's the way he was talking.
He had that, and I guess it was Romy Bean who shot that video, which was so great, of him skating around FaceTiming somebody, and he's out there in his full gear on the ice with nobody out there. And it's like, felt like that was a moment right there. You know what I'm saying? Felt like maybe that's the time. But
hey, one more really quick, though. I agree that it doesn't feel like Darcy is likely a long-term answer. But what are the options if you're going to just move on from Darcy? Is Frankie a legit option? I mean, what who would we be talking about?
I think Frankie's your backup. He's your $2 million backup goalie that they really like. But I think that they're going to go out in free agency or perhaps a trade and try to get a big guy and create another good, solid tandem that they can still lean on Frankie to do a lot of the work. I just think that Justin Annan, and I don't think he's ready. He's a year or two off.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the key in free agency is goaltending.
All right, great stuff, Mike. We really appreciate it, and we'll keep following your coverage in the Denver Post, and we'll catch up soon. Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate you.
Right on, boys.
All right, yeah, there you go. Care. Mike Chambers.
Glad he came on. That's actually amazing that the only scenario that I presented that I said it was cool is almost verbatim how it actually went down.
There you go.
Glad he came on.
Yeah, context matters.
Of course.
Maybe I should be careful to rush to judgment on our good athletes that
well,
were critical.
That was the only thing that was bothering me about it.
That's fair enough.
That was bothering me, right? Because we assume that we've got an opinion on things of the information as we have it. And sometimes you learn new information after you have made an opinion. But yeah, I think that is a good life lesson for a lot of people.
In fairness, though, for people being critical, even Mike said, perhaps I shouldn't have put that on Twitter, although I'm not going to take it down. I don't regret it. But even Mike understands, it's clear that, okay, I can see why some heat is coming my way, but y'all, you don't know the entire set of circumstances. So perhaps posting it was, you know, you open yourself up if you put it out there, and even he admitted that.
Yep, you do.
So, okay, that sounds like a pretty fair criticism that just a picture doesn't represent the complete context of everything else that happened. So, okay, you either got to own it or you don't, but he didn't seem to regret it.
Okay, moving on from Mike, and I'm glad we had him on. What do you think about the goaltender situation? So Adrian said yesterday he thought that they'd move on from Darcy. I think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I felt like yesterday were you along the side that you thought Darcy might stick around? Where were you on that?
Yeah, because the free agent goaltender market is just not that great. And I think Eustace Annunen, he's a big fellow, by the way. He probably is a year away from really, you know, quite being right. He's a very young guy. And they've got a nice pipeline. He's got a nice support base with the Eagles. And we have a Finnish goaltender coach he's very close with. So it does make sense, but maybe just, you know, not right now, especially as they're in this kind of very significant, again, Legacy Cup run.
Man,
so it depends. I mean, hey, I'll be open to whatever judgment they want to make. I just know right on the surface, like, who are you going to get? Like,
I think Darcy deserves a lot of respect for the job that he did. And you knew exactly what you were signing up for. And he basically played the exact way that you paid him to play. But if you're Joe Sakic, you're not doing your job unless you're trying to get better. Even after you win a Stanley Cup, and the one obvious spot that you have to get better is at goaltender. It's not very often that Trent Dilfer wins the Super Bowl. It happens, but it doesn't happen more than once. So
it just happened to the Avs.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Do you think that could happen multiple times with Darcy Kuemper?
Ah, man. Maybe. It depends on how. I mean, he only faced 23 shots. He only faced 4 shots in the third period in a 2-1 game in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. I mean, actually, the answer to that question is actually maybe. In all fairness, a quarterback and what a quarterback controls, it's just not the same. It's way more responsibility.
It is more responsibility. I'm not going to argue that at all. But if there was a position on the ice that you could compare to it, goaltender is the only position that you could compare to it. The impact that you could have as a single player, that's the only one that you could even put in the same ballpark. But I'll give it to you. No, it's not the same weight as a quarterback.
Well, let me ask you this. Ultimately, goaltender is a defensive position. In football, if we were to make that comparison, who would be that valuable on defense?
I don't think you could look at it that way. I see what you're saying, defense on defense.
There's nobody, but
I'm talking about the singular most impactful player that is on the field or on the ice, whether that's offense or whether that's defense. It's just the only spot that one guy, if a goaltender stands on his head, he could win you a game. If a quarterback goes out there and he throws for 400 yards and your team is terrible, he can win you a game. Those are the only spots that you could even compare him. Because there's nobody on defense that you could say what position, maybe Von Miller, maybe an edge rusher, when they're playing out of their mind, they could create enough sacks that they could get close to it. But I don't think that's a comparable analogy for a goaltender.
Your goaltender is only as valuable as your offense is productive. So if your offense is incredibly productive, your goaltender could be kind of mediocre. But if your offense isn't very productive, all of a sudden the importance ramps up. So maybe it's not even a fair comparable because it really sort of depends. Obviously, for the Lightning, Vasilevsky's importance to his team is way more important than Darcy Kuemper.
It's fair. It's totally fair to compare it because a goaltender can win you or lose you a game by himself. No other player on the ice can do that. There's Nathan MacKinnon.
Well, all right.
He can win a game by not giving up a goal.
All right. Okay.
When a goaltender stands it now, it's tough to win a series. It's tough to win a championship by yourself, but you could absolutely win a game by yourself as a goaltender.
I'm just seeing the Avs allowing 23 shots and taking 39, and good luck. And Vasilevsky gives up 2 goals, and, you know, essentially your offense becomes a defense too because your goaltender doesn't face that many shots. Listen, it's a quirky situation. The real question is, do you think you could win the Stanley Cup again with Darcy Kuemper? And my answer to that is actually yes.
Well,
I think you could win it again the exact same way you just won it.
Maybe you could. They just did it, and who's to say they can't do it again? I'd feel better if they had a better goaltender, though. So, and that's not, I respect you, Darcy, and I appreciate the job you did. You got a championship for the Colorado Avalanche. Way to go. But I would still like to get better there.
We have a fun water cooler, fun anniversary going on, and kind of a pathetic boxing match, I think. But we'll get to it in the water coolers coming up next.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
What do any of us do here? Let's get on.
It looked as if Tyson bared his teeth at one stage in the exchange.
Yes,
bit his ear.
He bit his ear.
He bit his ear.
He feels in a lot of pain from that. You see the blood on the ear. That was definitely a bite.
Ouch, Charlie. That hurts.
My finger, Charlie.
Charlie.
Bit my finger.
Charlie, that hurts.
Well, I'm a little confused here right now. I'm going to get to our story in a second, but I am a little confused because it's 8-6 on the tiebreaker with Serena here. And I thought you only had to get to 7-2, so I'm not... Ooh, KJ, you got to do a little research. What's a tiebreaker? What do you got to get to?
Maybe it's 10.
Man, I thought it was 7, so I'm wrong
still
on that.
Still alive. I'm glad she's still
alive.
It's
a hell of a battle. We'll give you an update on the tennis match, which is really interesting. But first, it's the 25-year anniversary of Mike Tyson biting Holyfield's ear off. Do you remember, or what are your memories, if anything, of that?
Absolutely, I remember.
What do you remember?
You know, I wasn't a huge boxing guy, but I wanted to watch Mike Tyson. Everybody wanted to watch Mike Tyson, wanted to watch Evander Holyfield. And when he bit that ear off, I thought to myself, that is the most disgusting human being I've ever seen in my life. He bit a man's ear off. He bit his ear off, pulled it off. Here's my question. It's like funny now. It's like satire. It's like, haha, they're buddies. Are they kind of maybe?
I don't know.
Well, they're friendly enough. How did he not get a permanent lifetime ban from boxing for biting an ear off?
That is a very fair question.
How do you get a lifetime ban if it's not biting an ear off?
I would guess because every state kind of rules on fighters individual. There's not a league.
It's more simple.
One sort of
because thing. It was Mike Tyson, and you can make millions and millions of dollars every time he fights. So you're not going to lifetime ban that dude.
All right. Pause. Keep the music going. Serena just lost.
Ah, bummer.
And an epic first to 10. Wow, okay. I think, God, that must have changed at some point. But
bummer.
They changed it this year. This year they changed it. Oh, wow, okay.
Didn't even get past the first. Dang.
Well, that went forever. Went 3 sets. And, hey, good for her beating Serena.
You know what? Good for her for trying again. Good for you, Serena, for just wanting to get one more crack at it.
All right, next story. What a deal this was. A parlay of all parlays. We had a bet, Tyler, of putting it together. Rams, Warriors, Avalanche parlay. A $500 free bet. This guy had in December.
Oh, it was a free bet?
Free bet. And he put it on the Rams, Warriors, and Avs. The odds for that parlay, plus 53,800.
Hey!
On a free bet, this dude cashed in $269,000.
Holy cow. Take that, Zach Mike. Take that, Stokely.
Holy cow.
You keep chasing them. You keep chasing those Celtics, Zach Mike. How'd the Celtics work out?
Yeah, man. Oh, was that something there for...
He made an initial, then he doubled down,
oh,
and then
really?
I think he might have tripled down.
Really?
It was, he would have had a nice little day if Celtics would have won. That's one hell of a payday. Don't you look at that like... Okay, it makes me feel, now that I know it's a free roll, I get it. But even when I look at people that spend $1,000 on these parlays, and they're like year-long parlays, gosh, you guys are crazy.
All right, next up. Adrian Peterson is fighting Le'Veon Bell in a boxing exhibition. Why? Who cares? And are you going to watch?
No, of course I'm not going to watch. I mean, these boxing matches, there are a handful of, I guess, amateur celebrity boxing matches that do intrigue me. Every now and then there's two people that hate each other enough. They're big enough names. It is intriguing. But What the heck are we doing here?
What are they doing?
Well, Adrian Peterson's trying to make money. Le'Veon Bell.
I'm sorry, what?
Adrian's trying to make money.
What's going on there?
Well, it's well known that he's got money issues.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's what he's doing. Le'Veon Bell, man, that guy disappeared. He never, after his big holdout.
Bell's only 30.
He never had another season. I mean, he played, but he never had another good season.
You think he's done in the NFL at 30?
Yeah. He's done.
Wow. All right, another real quick. The old water cooler. Aqib Talib is going to the Amazon desk for Thursday Night Football. How successful do you think Aqib's going to be in the world of broadcasting? His profile's certainly jumping up.
So, tremendous. When I first read this, I didn't take my time. I made assumptions like you and I both can at times, and I thought that he was going on to the actual broadcast itself. We've heard Aqib Talib on the broadcast. I think he's really, really fun. I think he would have the potential to change the broadcast forever. It would almost be like Dennis Miller, but successful, because that's what Aqib would be. He'd be there for his humor, for the entertainment value. I don't think he would necessarily know all the injuries and everything else that's going on, but he'd be entertaining. But that he's in a different role. He's going to be reacting to the games, talking about the games. I think he's going to be tremendous.
All right, for Talib.
Aqib, can you clear things up? Did you shoot yourself in that incident?
Oh, man, the situation is still under review.
Still under review.
We got to respect that process. So I'm not going to talk about that right now.
How's day
camp? I feel great, man. I did some one-on-ones today. Felt pretty good on the field.
No, that was inhumane.
He's the best. Yeah, don't be inhumane. Why you gotta be inhumane? Did you shoot yourself? Oh, man, that situation. What are you saying?
That's under review.
Can you clear things up? Did you shoot yourself in that incident?
Oh, man, the situation is still under review.
I'm waiting for somebody to let me know.
How great is that?
I'm not sure if that happened or not, but somebody's going to tell me eventually.
Did you shoot yourself? That situation's still under review.
You know what? That's why he's going to be so tremendous in the booth, though.
Oh,
because he's got a comedic response for anything.
You know, he
shot himself, and he had a perfect response to it.
Did you do this to yourself? It's still under review.
Right. I'm not sure.
So great.
Somebody will tell me.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. We'll find out the results of the investigation, I guess. We'll see. Was Mace taking a shot at you?
Oh, I loved it, though. Yes, he took a shot at me, for sure.
All right, well, we'll get to that coming up next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan.
Come as you are. I kind of want
to... I can't keep going unless you're there. No, I don't want to go anymore.
Come as you are, as you'll be. As there were all the small things.
Not good. All the people on Twitter that were posting videos of themselves singing that song, that is what they sounded like.
Gary.
It's not even that hard of a song. Believe me, I have no voice inflection. So I'm no one to talk, but that is not even a hard song to sing.
Hey, KJ, by the way, we got to find more, like, Stanley Cup stories just to play our little song. Like, we got to find, like, where's the cup right now? Who's with the cup right now? Who was with it last night? Did you see the cup?
We need updates. Like, this is going to take a village. We need eyes on the street. You see that cup in a bar? We need photos. You got a buddy that got to go hang out? We need a story.
713-103. No, 71. What's her number?
713. What's our station? What, like, if
holy
you turn
cow,
on if you turn
am,
on your radio,
what am I doing?
If you
am
turn
really
on if you turn on your radio, what are you going to turn on the dial to? Okay, so if you said 303-713.
What is my problem?
1043. See, like it works really well because all you have to do is remember the 713.
No, I forgot the 303.
Oh,
terrible. Yeah, let us know if you see the cup. Take a picture. Let us, you know, we want to hear the stories because we got a cute little song and it would be fun to play. We're doing a cool thing just on the old internets there, and that's like a counting down the days until training camp, and we're at day 76. So very appropriately, the radio station put out, ah, Tyler Palumbis, our pal, 76, all that. I saw it. I liked it. I was like, yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. Tyler, look at him, Mr. Football player. And number 76, that's Tyler Palumbis.
Yes.
That's who I'll always think is 76.
Well, thank you, D-Mac.
Yeah, I mean, we worked together. I was at Super Bowl 50. You're number 76.
Thank you.
You're the big Palumbis, 76. And like, what other player could be more definitive of that particular number in our lives except for you? Nobody.
It's hard to imagine that there could be somebody that had a better career than me, the Ward number 76.
Until our senior writer of the Denver Broncos, Andrew Mason, came over the top rope from Madison, Wisconsin to just call us out that you weren't the most memorable 76.
Oh my gosh, it was great.
What was he doing?
So when I saw the tweet, 100%, I was waiting for all the replies of like, well, that's the best we could come up with, Tyler. That's really the best that we got. Certainly, I was waiting for like a list of like 50 people, 50 replies. I knew the shots were going to come. I was just, Andrew took the shot, and he didn't just take a shot. He dug a hole and he buried me in it. I mean, it was an impressive shot. I respect it. It just came at a little bit of surprise. It was well done. So Andrew responded, he retweeted. So made sure that everybody saw the response. He retweets the photo of me, number 76.
Yeah.
And he writes, offensive tackle Ken Lanier, 81-92, ranked second in Broncos history in consecutive games played, 166. And third in team history in consecutive starts, that's 131. It's hard to top that among players wearing the spirited number 76 in team annals.
Wow! What the hell? I'm sorry, what years for Lanier?
That was 81-92. That's a good career.
Well, he definitely was part of a couple Super Bowls in that time frame. Yeah, no doubt. So, okay.
I am well aware of what my role was on the Super Bowl team. Not even remotely offended by Andrew's comment. I thought it was funny, hilarious. I was waiting for the comments to come. I just didn't expect to get buried by Andrew Mason.
But why not just let that dog lie there, Mace?
That's what brothers do, man. That's what I love. That's what I love about our radio station. We're like a big frat, man. We all can make fun of one another, poke into one another. And if you can't make fun of your friends, do you have good friends if you can't make fun of them?
All right, let me ask you your opinion then about Mace. Do you think he did that to have fun and make fun and have fun, or, and you know Mace well.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think he really did that because he was being factual and more like, listen, this is really the truth here?
Well, I think he absolutely wanted the truth out there. So that was a huge part of it. He's a big stats guy. He knows everything about Broncos history. His memory is absolutely insane. And I do think he wanted the truth out there. But Andrew and I have a fantastic relationship. We worked with each other across the street. We poke and prod at each other all the time. I think it was twofold. I think he was showing off his knowledge while taking a shot at me at the same time.
So he's having some fun at your expense, but proving a point as well.
Yes.
All right, that's probably about right.
I mean, it's hard not to respect that.
Are we going to get this when we go? Because I guess you're really the first one. I'm thinking of our other guys. Wait, what was Nate Jackson? He was like 81, though, wasn't he?
I think so. So Schlereth was 69.
Did we do Schlereth? No, we're not there yet. Yeah.
I'm 76. That comes.
So Schlereth's a 69.
Yeah, Stokely's 14.
And Stokely, what other 14? Well, Cortland Sutton's 14.
Yes. I'm going to assume we're going to show our own guys, though. I mean, if they showed me, right? I'm going to assume they're going to show Schlereth and they're going to show Stokely. I guess, did they show Nate, though? I don't know. Did they show him?
I don't know. What did we do on day 81?
Orlando was, what was Orlando? 74. Orlando was 74, right?
Orlando.
So we should have Orlando in a couple days here.
Yeah, but he was like the right tackle of the decade.
Yeah, he's like literally the all-decade team.
Mace, what are you thinking?
Oh, we got Andrew on the phone?
Mace.
Andrew, you son of a gun.
What was the point of coming off the top rope to to rip on Tyler at 76? What was your thinking?
Well, every so often, I didn't do it on the weekend, but I do it on most weekdays, I will always retweet that daily. I'll do like, okay, here are the top five guys who wore this number. That's
right.
Like, and so, usually I agree. In this case, with all respect to my dear friend and
hold on, it was current co-worker
Tyler.
Now he's getting to something. Like he's already buried me, so he dug the hole.
Oh, I think I heard something else.
I'm getting there. Okay. I'm getting there, D-Mac.
Right.
I heard it. So he dug the hole. It's 6 feet deep. He placed me in it. He threw all the dirt back on top of my body, buried me alive, and then he took another shot there. Said, "I know the top five at every number."
Right.
I don't even, okay, you've already killed me. Just tell me, where do I stand? Where do I stand, Andrew?
You'd be number two.
Take that.
Oh, all right.
Hell yeah.
I thought he was insinuating you weren't in the top five.
Hell yeah. No, take that, Calvin Anderson.
After Ken Lanier, we're looking at Tyler. We're looking at Max Garcia. We're looking at Broderick Thompson from back in the 90s, you know?
Yeah,
and Tyler played a really important role on a really memorable Super Bowl winning team.
Why is Tyler? This is why
I like Andrew.
Hold on. Yeah. Why is Tyler more highly regarded than Max Garcia?
That's a good question. That is one where I will admit I let my personal bias get in the way of how much I like Tyler.
I mean, I could help if you want. Max,
sure.
Max is my friend. I texted with him the other day.
Why are you better than Max Garcia?
I mean, I was the underdog. I was the overachiever. Max was drafted. You know, he got cut after he was drafted. I was the underdog. Hometown hero.
Wasn't Max the center who threw the ball 100 yards over
Peyton? No. Max wasn't even on that team. That was...
what am I thinking of?
Manny Ramirez.
Manny Ramirez. Sorry. My bad.
No, Andrew, I 100% respected it. I laughed at it the second I saw it. I hope that you knew that I was laughing at it when I responded. All love, man. It was great.
When I saw that you'd seen it, I laughed too. So
good.
D-Mac
wants us to hate each other.
I was glad you saw it though. I didn't mention your name, but you still found it.
I did not see it. Richie saw it, and then Richie Richie texted it to me. So somebody brought it to my attention.
I was just curious if you did it because you wanted the record to read correctly, or you were just giving Tyler a hard time. Which was it?
Maybe a little of both, but that's okay.
Okay, well,
that's exactly what I said.
That's what he said. All right, Mace.
You're a good man, Andrew.
Good
appreciate
checking
you.
With you. We'll talk
good
to you stuff. Later. All right. Oh, wait, Mace, are you there? Are you still there?
I'm here. All right.
Will you be doing the same for the other athletes here at the radio station if it gets put out there? I mean, we got a couple of others to go.
I got to think about that here because Schlereth has probably got a pretty good case for that. Orlando's probably got a pretty good case for that. Stokely, what other 14s do we have? Cortland Sutton.
We got Cortland Sutton. We've got Brian Greasy at 14. Yeah, 14 is going to be interesting.
What you're saying is Stokely's like 4 or 5, and I was number two?
We'll see. I mean, that's what, 60, that's 62 days away here. I got some time to stew on that one.
Hey, was Nate Jackson 81?
Among other numbers, yeah.
All right.
I think Nate was like three numbers.
Was he really?
I want to say he, you know what? He may have been 14 too.
Wasn't he really?
At one point.
All right.
Here's what
you got to do
Nate
now.
Had a
you
got to in the teens.
Andrew, you're the senior writer at DenverFan.com. Who am I to give you ideas? But I think you need to take all of the guys here, all of our numbers, and you need to rank them all as an article. See where we all land.
Wow. Where they land amongst the numbers.
Yes.
Where they are amongst the numbers. Amongst your number.
Yeah.
That's a fun idea. Yeah. Amongst your number.
That's a great idea. That's easy. I'll do it.
That's a good one. And then you can talk about Nate Jackson quite often because apparently every year he was just given a new number. All right, Andrew. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
Take care, guys.
All right, our guy. Football at 4 comes up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.